Welcome to Growing International, where you hear from educators like yourself, students, and experts in the field of international education on how to grow your study abroad programs and internationalize your campuses. I'm your host, Jody Littleton, a professor of communication and a study abroad coordinator for Parkland College. I couldn't do this show without the support of Parkland College, a community college located in Champaign, Illinois, as well as the Consortium of International Studies and Programs and the Community Colleges for International Development. Whew! With all that out of the way, let's get started. Well, I'm really excited because we are actually doing this live, which is amazing because when I started this podcast, we could not do anything live. So we're live today. I am with Susan and Brendan McGinty, and they are both marketing and sales professionals. I'll let them kind of introduce themselves and what they do. But what I wanted to do today is Susan and Brendan, that's what they do, is they do marketing, they do sales. It's a big part of their job. And I know that a lot of us out there don't have a lot of marketing and sales background, but that's what we do as part of our jobs. We have to promote study abroad and international education to students, but we also have to promote it to our administrations and make sure that there's awareness out there of the value of it. And so I thought today what we would do is just kind of get the experts to kind of weigh in, and also people from outside of education to kind of weigh in on what's some best practices to do that. What are some things to think about as you are trying to developing some marketing and sales? So thank you guys for being here. I really appreciate it. So you guys want to just do a brief introduction, kind of give a little background?
You bet. So Jody, thank you so much for having us both do this. This is really fun. And I love the whole study abroad. I just think there's so much impact there. So I'm Susan McGinty, and as you shared, this is my jam, right? So I'm all about sales. I'm all about marketing. I'm all about branding. And I know for some of us, we have a block when it comes to sales. But really, what I can't wait to dig in with you all is to talk about, we're basically doing it every day. So let's just try to ensure that we're doing it as effectively and be intentional about it. So I'm looking forward to connecting with you. But I should probably tell about my background, shouldn't I?
That would be helpful.
So I've done all kinds of different things, from medical, being in healthcare professions. I've been a teacher myself. I've ran a business association. And in the last 10 years, I've fallen in love with the credit union industry, which is kind of a unique place because I didn't grow up in finance. And I've been able to work with business developers across the entire country to really talk about what credit unions are and to do exactly what you're talking about. How do you get internal buy-in and then be able to take that message and that value and all that goodness you're wanting and turn it external? So that understanding of both. And that's where I'm really excited to talk to you about both aspects of that.
Okay, great. Well, cool. I'm looking forward to it. Brendan?
And Jody, I'm Brendan McGinty, and I am in business development, business management. I'm a proud Parkland graduate.
Nice.
So am I.
There you go. That's wonderful. And I see it as, I see the business development end because I've been mainly in tech on the entrepreneurial side with my own company, doing products and services, to now selling solutions at big scale with the University of Illinois. As I see the process as education. I see it as educating who the audience is that you are trying to sell, market to get them to have the awareness necessary to be engaged, to whet their appetite, to get their interest, to want to learn more. Mm-hmm. And from there, things tend to take care of themselves. So I've been doing it for a long time and in a different area, mm-hmm. but passionate about the international play as well. I still travel internationally quite a bit. Had an exchange student myself. I worked right out of the university internationally as well myself. So I feel that passion because it's a small world.
It is. And so I'm excited to have you guys with me. And we had talked a little bit earlier, I was telling them about the fact that a lot of us in study abroad and even in international education, fairly small offices, We have some support from the marketing professionals in our college, but oftentimes not a lot because they're busy trying just to recruit students into our doors. And so study abroad is kind of a secondhand type of thing. And so we do a lot of our own marketing. And of course, our marketing for our students is internal. So the students that are already at our college, we're trying to get them to do study abroad. And so, and get involved in international education in general. And so, you know, what are some ideas that you guys have as far as just kind of focusing on the students and the fact that we kind of have to do our own marketing for that?
So first and foremost, I look at that as an advantage. So you're not, it's a blessing and a curse, right? So you don't have the luxury of being able to tap into some of your corporate marketing because that is focused probably on other ROI-driven objectives. So you're here trying to build awareness and consideration for a passion project that you have. That also allows you to have some freedom in how you can impart. Brendan talked about education, you talked about value, and that's really what it's about. So in my mind, I always think about, what are you trying to do? And really, ultimately, you're trying to build awareness first and foremost to what your program is all about. You're not trying to convert people. You're not trying to hustle anyone to do anything. You're trying to build this exciting image and the value that comes with the opportunity of moving forward, right? Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, I think about, who do you know within other colleagues at the university that can help carry your water? So if you have a program, I'm making this up, but you have a study abroad program to Mexico, well, you probably know the Spanish teacher, and that is a wonderful person that can kind of start weaving in some education and knowledge. And again, they're carrying your water, they're building the education for students that could be relevant back to what your program is. We'll talk a little bit more about costs because that falls within the challenges, and then the next layer is trying to anticipate potential problems. But first and foremost, I think about partnerships within the university, ways to help others carry your water and educate for you.
If I were to add to that, I'd think about peer-to-peer communication. Who's the audience that you're trying to reach? Who is going to resonate with them most effectively? So the power of testimonial.
I love that.
Who else has been to Mexico? Who else has been to these countries can talk about the exact experience that they had? And then it's a matter of, to the point of raising awareness, how do you, in a hurry, grab someone's attention? Well, you're talking about students, so you have the power of social media to grab. You have different stimuli that can grab them technically, you know. And so how do you leverage the technology, internet, et cetera, to, in different aspects of it, different channels, to grab that attention right away?
Mm-hmm. Well, and something that Brendan does all the time, and I love when he does this, it doesn't even have to be high tech. We all have a smartphone, turn that sucker on to video, and share a message. Or if you have a student that is in your class or just went out of program, ask them, hey, do you mind if I take a quick little video of your experience? And then start to circulate that. And again, I think sometimes we get caught up about, oh, it needs to be looked this way, and we don't even start. And to me, it's all about beginning, because it doesn't have to be perfect, but you want it to be authentic. And nothing is more authentic than just using your phone and grabbing those little sound bites as they present.
That's a good point, because I think that's what students like too. You know, they don't want something super polished
for
and
sure.
Put together. So that's a great point, is just trying to do it as easy and as quickly as possible. You know, it's all about getting it out there, not having to over polish it, overdo it.
Right. And you'll learn as you go. Mm-hmm. So really what this is a journey, right? And so the first step is, I think Brendan is spot on. It's, you know, understand the testimonials. I love partnerships. What other channels do you have at your disposal? Is there a newspaper? Is there a radio station where you can get interviewed? What are some ways that you can get your message out? I mean, this is an old saying in marketing. I still think it holds true. It's the message 7 times 7 different ways. And so first and foremost, think about all your different channels and start touching and grabbing them. You're going to start to learn what is working and what's not. And don't be afraid to ask people for help, including your former students. To Brendan's point, they're going to be your very best because ambassadors of your program, because they've experienced it firsthand, and those testimonials are gold.
Or grab a current student on location, where they're at now. Get them to send you something that day. Hey, this just came in. Anything like that is as fresh as it can be.
Mm-hmm. So what do you mean by that?
Students already abroad. Whoever's already abroad, have them record something.
That's brilliant.
Right away. And if you can use some video, show them where they are. And that phone is more powerful and better than some of the old video equipment I used back in the day. So
oh, that's for sure.
Easy.
So, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's a good reminder because I think, again, we try to make it too difficult. So just trying to keep it short and easy and as simple as possible.
I think that's really helpful. And then the other thing I think about are, what are potential objections? I kind of touched on it a little earlier. And Jody, you probably know some of them. My first consideration is trying to be back in my 18-year-old brain. In my mind, I would have been like, oh, that sounds amazing, but there's no way I could afford that. Mm-hmm. Like immediately, you know, you don't have the experience to know that there could be grants, scholarships, or potential revenue streams out there. So I think once you've built the awareness and you've got people that are interested, I think it's important to start to proactively talk about some of the potential challenges. I mean, the first one I think about is financial. Like, how do you afford to do that? Is that a consideration?
That's a huge consideration. But I think, especially in my area, and I'm assuming maybe some of the people listening out there, we're in a fairly rural area of people that have been here a long time, a small town. And so I see a lot of students who just don't think this is for them. They look at it and it's so foreign. And why would I want to leave Illinois? I've lived here all my life. Some of them, you know, have never traveled much if anywhere. And so trying to awaken some of that curiosity and that to see the value and the fun of study abroad, you know, it's an amazing, fun experience. I've never had anybody come back and say, oh, that was terrible. You know, I never want to do that again. So, you know, so trying to kind of entice them in that way. So some of I think the huge part of the students who want to go on study abroad are exactly what you said. I can't afford it. They don't even, and I did the same thing when I was in college. I said, I don't think I can afford this. And I never even looked at it. And so, yes, making them aware that there are financial streams, revenue streams that they can tap into. But then also that other group of students who's out there thinking, why would I want to leave my family? I like my friends. I don't really see the value of traveling.
Well, what you learn when you go international is just how small the world is, all of the common issues that are out there. When I travel internationally, when my son traveled internationally, it was about what's happening in the United States. He's educating a foreign audience about that. He's learning about where he is. You learn about the commonality of people, and you gain an empathy that you wouldn't get if you stay in one environment your entire life. Mm-hmm. I respect those that do, but it gives you a global perspective. I know a lot of, they call them army brats, right? They travel around a lot as kids. They travel internationally. They're the most seasoned people I know. Mm-hmm. Nothing really phases them. Nothing really surprises them. They just have been there, done that. And they did it by changing schools at younger ages. They just got used to the environment and adapted wherever they went. What a powerful thing to be able to adapt to whatever environment makes you more successful in life.
You know, and I also think about, I love that, Brendan, and I think you're 100% right. I also believe in more is more. And so what we're trying to develop as we grow and develop our brains and our experiences is to mind yourself when you are not stretching yourself, to mind yourself instead of getting curious and learning more. Your fear stops you and you judge an experience before even knowing it. And there is this brain thing that as you grow, and doesn't matter what career you're in, it becomes mind limiting if you find yourself saying, oh, this is comfortable. The minute you stop doing experiences that make you a little nervous and excited, that give you a titch of fear, you start to stop growing and you stop closing the world off. So I would just encourage any adult, any student, that is the kind of fear you want to follow. Mm-hmm. It's not the fear of getting hit by a bus. I don't think our language has really great vocabulary for all of that. But the fear of the unknown and the excited anxiety feeling, the more you lean into that, the richer the experiences. So when I hear that, to me, it's like, oh, if you're getting that feeling, that's telling you it's an opportunity for you to explore.
So maybe, again, having students telling other students.
For sure. Absolutely. I mean, I love to talk to a student who was, like, nervous, excited. I mean, have you ever, like, well, this is back in the day, but I went to boot camp. I was in the Navy. And I will tell you, for a full week, I was trying to think of any way I can get out of going to boot camp, including even calling my recruiter. And in my mind, I was going to lie and say my aunt died. Never really came to be because I was like, how am I going to do this? And it was basically, I was so scared and nervous about this experience. And, you know, I finally had to just go because I was committed. And I'm so grateful that I did, because those 8 weeks fundamentally defined who I am today. And it helped me learn at a very early age that that was the type of fear that I needed to continue to follow. Mm-hmm. So yes, finding other students that have had that same sort of anxiety, which is real, like that's real, we all have it, mm-hmm. but was able to overcome it, and then for that person to share their experience, I think that would be really powerful.
The one thing too that I'm kind of toying with this semester that I'll get feedback from you guys on is having the students connect with other students in other countries virtually, because we have Zoom and we're so used to using it now and other forms of video conferencing that, so I'm going to have a group of students connect with a group of students from Jordan. And I was talking to one of the humanities professors, and she's having her students connect with a group of students from Shanghai, China. And so I'm hoping that maybe that can reduce the fear as well, because maybe that they'll connect enough that they see, wow, they're just like us. They're not any different. And maybe even like connect with them in a way, social media way, to stay in touch with them, become friends. Because I think with our students at Parkland, like I said, they're in that bubble. They've grown up. They've never really mixed with people from other countries or other cultures. And so, and even when they're at Parkland, they kind of stay in their own little packs, and which is natural. I'm not saying there's anything bad about it, but just,
I think that happens everywhere.
Yeah. So just trying to get them to open up to meeting other people.
You know, I'll add a component to that, Jody, that I think is an interesting one. I know that from an adult standpoint, we sit in front of a machine, we sit in front of a camera, we are very stationary. What an opportunity it is to show someone around, again, using the mobile device. It's not a phone anymore, it's a mobile device,
yeah.
Very powerful, and have that shared experience of showing the surroundings, of explaining the surroundings, of showing what they like or dislike about where they live, makes it real. It's not just sitting in front of a head and it can be as polite as it could be. No, make it a bit more mobile. Make it a bit on the fly. It doesn't have to be scripted. And there's the shared experience that is the next best thing to being there, mm-hmm. which may cause the trigger to happen to actually being there.
I love that. And I love the creativity that you're having to foster some of these relationship buildings abroad, which, to your point, for some that are high relationship based, knowing that they already have a familiar face to where they're traveling, I think will be really advantageous. Brendan, I do agree. I often think we do better making new friends when you're doing a new experience. So if you're using your smartphone and you're out and about and just encouraging them, show me around your home, show me your backyard, show me this. And it helps each other kind of introduce one another to their surroundings. And it could really even help foster that relationship even faster. But what a great idea. Mm-hmm. Are other schools doing this? Is this becoming pretty commonplace?
It is becoming much more commonplace. Since the pandemic, you know, we've been shut down as far as sending students abroad. So colleges, it's just exploded with this idea of looking how to bring the international experience to the campus. And I think it's great because it's something we probably should have been doing for years, but because only a very small, tiny percentage of students actually go abroad, I think it's less than 10%. It's very tiny. So this is a great way for us to try to bring the world to those students who may never do study abroad. Or hopefully, you know, like I said, my hope is that they kind of get a taste of it and realize that people out there are really interesting and places are really interesting if they can see somebody's house and they can make friendships. And hopefully if they make a friendship with someone in Jordan, for instance, that they actually go someday to Jordan or Japan or wherever it might be. So
I love that. And I do think you find that the more you travel, the more you realize that people are very similar. We all want similar things for ourselves, for our family, for our children. And I think that Brendan talked about empathy, and that shared empathy just helps us have greater compassion. And I think it just opens up your heart and your mind. And again, I think those types of foundation experiences when you're young make it easier to say yes to a new job, a career change, maybe an opportunity in New York City that you might not have considered. But I do think the younger you are to say yes to these things that make us a little fearful and doing them help you build a muscle to say yes moving forward.
Mm-hmm. I think of the mechanics involved in raising the awareness for students. So we've talked about having some sort of testimonial, leveraging some of the technology. What is this mix of tools that are easy for students to access, that are obvious, that say, here's what it's like when you go to Spain. Here's what it's like when you consider Jordan, right? I think that making that efficient and easy for them to navigate, because you'll lose them quick if you don't make it obvious for them. I mean, this is one where having different stimuli, again, whether it's YouTube or Snaps, or you got to pick something that's going to resonate with that audience. So always keeping the audience in mind. Who is it? It's students. What do the students need to see to have it resonate to them? From whom? All of those things have to be considered, but it can't be overcooked. It just has to flow. So find those find that audience.
Because that's how you learn the audience, right? You're going to learn what channel works. You're going
to
learn
what
audience, yeah. Correct, the more you jump in and start doing. So at first, I just want to encourage those that have found themselves in this position to be able to champion such an important effort to just give a lot of different things. There's no wrong answer. And to share and network with each other. Brendan, something you were saying kind of inspired me. My wonder is, can you have the most recent group that traveled abroad and get them all together, have some pizza, and you know, if you can have a beer, and just have a conversation, right? Because if you as a leader can foster the relationship between those that are considering and those that have been, that right there might be the best way
and
to continue. Oh my gosh, and record it. How smart is that? And then to be able
There's
to share
There's my next
it.
Podcast.
You're welcome.
Yay.
But I think that could be a really fun way to kind of continue to build. And so then if you were the student that went on that foreign exchange, they're now a leader, and now they get to be able to, impart that interest on that next generation. And that fosters relationship, too. I'm kind of getting goosebumps right now.
Maybe it's the air conditioning.
Maybe. I don't know. I think this is such an important effort for so many reasons. And I just think those of you that are in this field, and you have so many other responsibilities, but are passionate enough about this, that passion play is everything. And I just admire that.
Jody, one other thing that career path for students now is a bit more unique because of the pandemic, because of virtual workforce. But also, what's changed over the years is, I know in tech, a lot of the young talent would want to go to Silicon Valley Well, now there's data everywhere. The careers around this are global. And some of the biggest companies have operations around the world. So a single career can be in multiple countries doing many things. And it's a new and unique environment for students. And so how do you paint this? You're building an education and awareness internationally, but then the career opportunities are equally that. The world is so small when it comes to career opportunities that you can work anywhere, and it could be virtual or it could be live, and it could be anywhere in the world now. That is different than it was 10 years ago. And so how do we foster that and maximize that? And this is a great way to start, is that awareness of the fact that this world is small, that Jordanians and Americans share some of the same challenges and beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would often think that as you're going through college, if you had the experience and you made the effort to study abroad, that will look very, very well on a resume, and that can give you something to really discuss on your first job interview.
Agreed.
And I think from a corporate perspective, to your point, Brendan, where everything's so global now, that gives you a competitive edge against somebody who was not willing to make that same effort and take that leap.
Sounds good. I like it. Do we want to switch gears a little bit and touch on maybe marketing, sales, working with administration? How do you get support internally?
Yeah, I think that's really important. And I guess the first thing I start thinking about is, what is your administration interested in, right? So again, I'm making this up a little bit, but I would think to grow interest in your college, junior college, university. And so being able to showcase diversity and opportunity is key to that. So for me, having the option of study abroad is a very key element to show some of those opportunities you can gain by attending your college or junior college or university. So again, I think it is an important piece in having a wide variety of choices for a very diverse student population.
Yeah, the value of providing the program, the value of having students participate in the program, what that means to, let's just take Parkland as an example. I think that there's an opportunity to create an ecosystem that is more global by having that happen. Your alumni base, your graduates being international are part of your ongoing story. They should be part of where the colleges go to find future gifts, philanthropic gifts from successful graduates, and that could be anywhere in the world. I know at Illinois, we have a lot of Chinese graduates, right? And we've improved over the time, but struggled at times with reaching them. So how do you, it takes real administrative management to track where all of these kids not only are, but then where as young adults and adults they're going and what their careers look like. And so the alumni part of this, I think, is invaluable. You add an international component to that, you have an ongoing story because you have career paths that you can track and promote, because this is a storytelling exercise about what life looks like for existing students. What am I going to do? What are my options? Well, best coming from graduates from the very institution that they're studying at.
The other thing I think about, so all of us have been in a position where we want to champion an idea internally. So think of it this way. You want to have a combination of specific benefits. So I think of hard data points. So how many students have actually studied abroad? Where have they gone? So make sure you have your data points there. Those are specific. And then you have your subjective. And that's talking about what Brendan's saying. Where are the testimonials? Where are some video recordings? And I think if you can have a template or kind of a way of thinking it of specific data points, because the ROI is always going to be important, and it really shows the depth of that student having loyalty at the university by engaging in these efforts, which to Brendan's point could be an opportunity for
advancement to tap into for future dollars, right? Because they've had this robust. So again, these are your data points. And then have your subjective. So I always think about specific and subjective and putting those together when you're building a case.
Active management of it. I mean, it's a lift.
It is.
But when you do that and you get the machinery, I like to think of it as sort of operational machinery in place, all you're doing is adding to it. All you're doing is building a library, touch points, stories that can resonate. They're pretty timeless too. What international experiences looked like 20, 30 years ago and what they look like now, there's a lot of similarity. And it really is a feel of the families you're staying with, the context that you're making, much more so than any other aspect. It is about the people that you're building, hopefully, lifelong relationships with. And that's part of all of that storytelling.
You know, Jody, you and I have spoken before about this, and I love your passion for study abroad. And you are a great poster child of that because you grew up studying abroad, which I love that now you're in this world of being to continue that legacy. But one of the things you talked to me about in the past is students that have studied at Parkland, studied abroad, gone, graduated in their workplace, and then come back to you. Mm-hmm. So I think those types of connectivity is really powerful to show that this wasn't just a one and done, that in essence, it kind of changed and added more of who that person is moving forward. And I think from an administration perspective, those stories of not just today, but how it changed that person moving forward in their career, I think it really shows the profound value of offering such a important program.
That's a good point. Yeah, so it's just, I think one of the things about talking about this, it does kind of re-inspire you to like, okay, I can do this. I
for
can
sure.
get out here and do this. So that was great. Anything else that you guys can think of that you want to add before we kind of wrap it up?
You know what happens when students study abroad and they come back is, yeah, I did that. Past the yes, I can do it, mm-hmm. I did it, and I want to do it again. Mm-hmm. I love that. Once they travel internationally, how many of them stay put afterwards?
Not very many.
There it is.
None of them. And there's a reason for that.
There it is.
And that should tell everything that needs to be said about the value, because they're itching to see the rest of the world because of the value that they get from experiencing those parts of the world that are different than ours.
Well, if you're in this role, you're passionate about it. And that passion is powerful. So don't forget to ask for help. Ask your students to get that testimonial, grab your phone, take that little video, share it, send it, embed it in a PowerPoint, share it with your colleagues. Ask for help. Ask for help from your students who have done it, who've done it in the past, who are considering it. Ask them what their challenges are so you understand how to overcome it. Ask your colleagues to help to get excited about this opportunity. Maybe they can come aboard and chaperone. How wonderful it is. Now you've got other passion players with you within the university. And then lastly, when you're selling internally, I do love the construct of specific data points and subjective because storytelling is important, but we all like data points. Ask your administration, what more they need to see to ensure that you have that long-term buy-in. Again, we don't all have to figure it out on our own. I'll tell you, for me, whenever I'm trying to sell something, I try to ask as many questions as possible so that I understand what the problems are I'm trying to overcome. And it just helps me know how to impart that education and the value points that are relevant.
I love it.
Yay.
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate you coming. Actually, we're all here today. We're not on Skype. We're not on Zoom.
Thanks for having
us. It's really nice. So thanks for doing this with me.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I hope you got some good information from today's podcast. And you will continue listening to Growing International. If you have any questions, please email me at jlittleton@parkland.edu. I'm always happy to talk to you online, so please send me any questions that you have. Also, I hope you continue listening to this podcast. We are hosted on Podbean, and also we are now on Spotify and Google. So again, thank you so much, and catch you later.